Hi, I'm January Valentine, and this is a special Talking in Stations presentation with Sort Dragon on the occasion of the non-invasion pact with the Imperium.
Sort Dragon's here, and he's generously said he'll answer questions. So far, he's said that he got word from Gobbin. What did Gobbin say?
Oh, just that I don't know what the future's going to be between Gobbins and I. I think a lot of people have been read into the agreement the wrong terms have been read by a lot of people. I mean, obviously, Goons had their announcement and their get-together with Asher and Mittens to discuss their side of it. I just did one with GOTG. Or I like to call us Dead Coalition. It's our name now. But and I think a lot of people didn't actually take the time to read it and just think that our friends are going to get fucked over or something. But I'm just interested to see what people's thoughts are, actually. I mean, I know a lot of people's probably initial emotional thoughts are Fox or Dragon, but that's fair enough.
All right, Dan.
What were the options on the table for you? I mean, how did you view kind of the landscape of where things were at? And, you know, as this got presented to you, what were the options that were on the table?
I mean, we were getting deep dicked at the start. So while I was away at the summit, I pretty much, Killer and I, and pretty much all the Goons as well, pretty much disconnected from what our alliances were doing at the time. There would be certain digs across the table at each other, like, oh, haha, you guys just whelped another fleet. And there were like snide comments, but like by Aerith, he's really good at like the one-liners and stuff, and so am I to an extent. And we would always trade barbs about certain things. And I now that I remember it, I remember we were sitting at dinner one night and he's like, pay 2.5 trillion and we'll fuck off. And I was like, fuck you, I'm not paying you. And he wanted ISK. And the reality is we don't have 2.5 trillion ISK. We don't keep a lot of ISK. We keep a lot of assets. There's a difference. That's how we've always done things, keeping a lot of ISK. It's really hard. We learned that the hard way, especially when all the Titans died. We were able to replace them so fast because we had assets. But ISK-wise, we never kept that. And so then, as Aerith said in his announcement, he changed. When we arrived in the summit, I thought that we would have like a couple of days after the summit that we would detox down and then talk to people. But Anominate and Merkelchen had already changed their flight to Friday, and then Aerith did the same thing. And trying to talk anything other than the summit stuff when the CSM is on at the same time, I really don't like doing, because I'm out of touch. I don't know what's going on in game at the same time. And on top of that, I don't know what's happening with, like, I don't really want to take, we're elected to go to Iceland to discuss fixing the game. I don't believe really, unless it's after the summit, like a day afterwards, talking to people. And plus, I love Aerith as a person, don't get me wrong, but the guy is fucking unbearable sometimes. He smugs like the best of them. And Merkelchen's a lot easier to get along with. He's more my kind of person. Have a nice little drink, chill, and have chats.
I just want to circle you back to the kind of the original question of what were the options on the table.
Just doing a little bit back. So the actual that and then we left, and the first option on the table was pay 26 Fortizars, and we'll stop shooting you. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty decent deal. So I asked for clarification on the deal, and the clarification was turn on your allies and we'll leave you alone. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I didn't do that. And then I basically informed my allies that it was going on. Some allies even coming to them and tell them that I'd been approached. Some allies acted very mean, I would say, in certain ways. And some allies that I spoke to were very helpful in understanding of what we should do going forward. And obviously that shut down the talk. It wasn't going to happen. But then due to the infighting between that was getting worse and worse at a northern level, I basically went straight to Goons and said, look, give me a number for you guys to fuck off. Just leave the north. it's obvious at this point that the North is fractured in a leadership level. Fuck off. Like, that's just give me a number. And they gave me a number. We bartered back and forth. There were some specifics that I needed to have answered, which were, can I help my allies? What is the time limit? Kind of things like that. And we eventually settled on it. And that was the difference, is a lot of people don't realize that I wasn't going to my allies in the North and saying, you have to pay this. I was basically saying, I will pay this to get them off our backs. Sure, we were the ones that were getting shot the most. And that's why we got certain clauses in the contract, the 6-month clause. But the reality is that I just wanted them gone from the North as a whole. They could come back after a month and do stuff. Do I think they will? I don't know. That's not my topic to be made. But at least I know that I can help my allies should they be hit by hostiles.
I mean, the other options, besides whatever deal you made to work out for this, the other options were either give up an evac or fight and die.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, there were other options.
Why was this the path that you took?
Because my alliance leaders actually asked for it. So I said to my alliance leaders, this is the options. We can either fight or die. And to be honest, fighting and dying is actually not a bad thing for me. In 6 weeks' time, I'm having a second kid. My real life is becoming more and more busy. Actually, dying off isn't a bad deal. It would give me an out. But the problem is I would never forgive myself for doing that to the people. I'm very much an emotional person. Anyone that's ever spent time with me, I may come across and people might think I'm an asshole and they might treat me badly, but I do take what people think about me very heavily. There are people in this channel that have met me in real life. Caneros and a couple of other people have met me in real life. I don't take criticism very well. And I would definitely feel if I took us the route of death, I would feel that, okay, then I would have to lead us through to something else. I'd have to be the knower. I would have to take us to a different place. Moses, I guess, would be the other way of putting it. I would have to do that. And that's not what I wanted. And that's where it was. It was a little bit self-serving, obviously. But that was my feeling of it. Is it, have I made the right decision? I won't know.
Too early to know.
But it is what my people want. And I just had a Q&A with them and they were pretty happy. They were pretty happy with the deal. I gave them the chance to ask me any question that they could. The only stipulation I gave was that I would not answer any questions that were based on another alliance. So I won't answer anything for NZ.I, I won't answer anything for PL, I won't answer anything for Horde, because that's not my place. My place is the leader of Dead Coalition, not the leader of the North. But everything that Aerith did say in that article was true. They did talk to Killer at the time. And I don't know how much of the talk between Killer made it back to Vince or if it was just Killer blowing smoke. I wasn't really privy to it.
Derek, you want to ask some questions?
No, I asked the main question I had for now.
Are you going to step up your Oracle mining in hopes of maybe getting a bigger Titan and Super Capital Force? Is that part of the plan to get them now that they're fucked off? Or is that
that's
not
up to really? People. It's up to people now. It's literally up to the people that I made the deal for. Literally up to them. They can step up and they can increase our Super Capital Force to a point where we could actually be an equal member of the table, because in the North, we aren't really an equal member of the table. We're a partial member of the table.
I have a question. Knowing that we were on our way and we were coming in full force, or you know the numbers we can amass, how would you do things differently?
Who's we, sorry?
Well,
I don't know which alliance you're from.
I'm Goons. I don't know if there's a tag I can assign myself or anything, but no, it doesn't matter.
And how would I set up differently? I would go back in time and try to convince my people to listen to me a lot heavier when I said that the goons are building quite heavily. I said that to a lot of people. Looked at the Super Capital Fleet of NC.NPL, and PL, even in my own group, and went, "They're big. We don't have to build up. They'll protect us." And I was looking at the MER numbers every month. I was looking at what they were doing. I was looking at our own numbers of production and going, "We need to do something." And a lot of people didn't take it seriously. And that was the only good push for change comes from fear. And that's, goons have definitely slapped a dick on the table and gone, "This is what we have." And that's important to know now. Like, this is, and it's also the game has seen it as well, right? I mean, PL went and fucked with Test, and then Test for the UALX timer pulled out 120 something Titans, and everyone went, "Oh, shit, they've been building too." So we were definitely behind the eight ball because we just believed that everything was going to be okay, and it definitely wasn't.
I have a question.
All right, say your name and what alliance you're from.
Wormhole Space, Philip Ricker. My question is, with what happened with Iron Wolf and now what's happening with Boki, is there a problem generally with handling second-in-commands in Dead Coalition?
I mean, so to give you a history, Philip Ricker is trying to bait me into trying to talk about things that went on in the past with disruptive second-in-commands. Boki is leaving on good terms. His corporation mostly went inactive during this war. I still believe he was the best second in command that Darkness ever had, and the Coalition ever had. Previous ones that we had before, obviously, I had my issues with Iron Wolf. I'm not too sure what this has to do with the current situation, but sure, there's your answer.
Because Boki leaked the deal.
It wasn't actually the Boki that leaked the deal. It was a member of the corp that is leaving Slice.
Are you going to say who it was?
It was a guy called Rent Stimulus, I think was the name. Rent Stimulus was the last name. They corp up to NC.today and was rejected. And they leaked the deal. He leaked the deal. Props to Goons for finding out who he was. I would never have actually known it until the guy actually used a character and his character name. It doesn't actually have any reference to his name in Eve, but his guild in Albion is the name of the same guild he is in Eve. And then we tracked it through the alts that he'd mentioned in different things. And yeah, he was one of the lead diplos for Slice, so he was privy to the deal being brought to fruition. And for that, I actually apologize to Goons because there was a clause in the contract to allow them to kind of have, I guess you could say, creative control about how the deal would get out to the public. And they had the right to tell their people first.
All right, so you're sure it wasn't Boki?
Yeah, I know for a fact it wasn't. When he was confronted by Riot, Ricky admitted that he did it. So.
Okay. Next question.
Just a statement as well by Philip, by the way. Philip is an ex-member of Boki's Corp. So it's a little disingenuous with kind of trying to throw Boki under the bus at the same time.
Well, he's not the only source saying that may be the case. There's
we hadn't more verified that it was his. It was Path of Exile. Sorry, someone actually said in chat, that's correct. It's Path of Exile, not Albion. My bad.
Yeah, at least it wasn't Black Desert.
All right, if you have another question or a follow-up.
Hi, the Mick McCoy from Total Mayhem. By the way, we're recruiting. I just wanted to ask real quick, if I could. In the future, going forward, are you looking to maybe model your space to where things are set up in Delve with their infrastructure, their super umbrella, their protection, whatnot, what have you? And what are your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of things, given my years of being under different leaders and under different people that have created and destroyed coalitions in the game, I try to take the good and the bad from other people. And a lot of things that the Goons do with regards to Theater Squad and things like that are definitely important to look at. And I don't know what the future will bring. I have to talk to, once the deal is fully enacted and Goons move on, I need to work out where we, how we do things from then on. Obviously, I'm not going to give away any internal plans. That's really unfair to people in my alliance to do that.
Right. Thanks you. Thank you for answering the question.
I have another, or if anyone wishes to speak up.
Go ahead, ask your question.
Okay. Kyle from Ascendance in Swarm. How do you think this will, know, either scar or change your people's perception in the game, or their train of thought? Do you think that more of them will play a little bit more conservatively in the way that they stockpile? Do you think that they will take a more industrial focus? Do you think there'll be a mass exodus to a larger power? What do you think your people may do?
I think my people have to, along with a lot of people in the game, they really have to wake up a little. I mean, NCDOT's done it really well with their industrial wing, getting them so many tons. But I guess the game as a whole relied, too heavily on old veterans and not actually putting the work in at a grunt level these days to get more titans and progress yourself and your characters and your corporations heavier. The game has changed in a way that the Goons got ahead of it. They got ahead of it and they realized it early on that this was the way to survive. And I hope that my people will follow the model used by both NCDOT and Goons and try and now start influencing the way they play to evolve for what is basically 2018 EVE and not what is basically 2010 EVE, where industry was still around but not as strong.
Let me, in absence of a different question, let me ask you a more personal question, and that is, like, what's it feel like to be under this kind of pressure to have to explain these actions that have taken a lot of people by surprise?
Well, technically, I don't have to explain them. I'm only doing it because...
But you're here.
I'm going to clarify it. I'm going it because I feel that sometimes a lot of things are said about me that aren't true, and I think it's very important to actually... come and clarify positions that people try and say about me. I've already seen that people haven't really read the agreement completely and have already started making their own assumptions of what the game, what it actually says. And so I came in and did my Q&A with my people and here as well, because I was interested to see what people actually thought the agreement said and how, when they clarified what they thought it meant. And because everyone is just going, oh, geez, is buying Goons off to leave them alone. The reality is I wanted them gone from the North. A lot of these people that are in the North, they're friends of mine. They're people I've played with for years. A lot of people won't admit it, but we were tearing ourselves apart. Both at diplomat levels with, internally in between the different alliances, there were arguments going on that shouldn't have been happening. It was getting to the point where it was becoming unbearable. Props to people like Horde who were helping us out by allowing us to mine and germinate. But everyone was really very much on edge. Even like conversations that I would have with other alliance leaders, I had to be very careful about what I was saying. And I felt that they had to be as well, because I was on edge. I was burnt out. A lot of other people were burnt out. And it felt that as my real life got better, Eve got worse. And so I would spend the time coming to Eve and end up snapping and fighting with people. And I didn't want that. And the reality is that goons, they did the right thing in hurting particular parts. I mean, the CO2 thing in itself, they have always been very good at, not CO2, but goons have always been really good at picking the right sound bites. Like Gigex saying certain things about us being pussies, and he would do things so much differently. And it ended up being hard to manage my own FCs, because they were like, fucking, why am I going to be active for this? Why would I do this if people are going to say this about us? And then obviously that would make me angry, that I would feel bad for them. And then I would go out and try and work out what I could do. And I'd end up kicking in doors. And then other than certain relationships that I've had with, like, say, Vince, that I've known for very many years, and I still had a good relationship at the end of this, a lot of people that we could have actually regrown our relationships for a while, it became really, really hard. I mean, I guess that's the easiest way of saying it. Is it became really hard to keep those relationships alive, because the hatred that was building between members in the North from the happiness that we had from, like, the Hakonan days and different things like that was just becoming the priority. And when you're in a group like that, it becomes really hard to be a leader in that, like, toxic environment, not attributed down to one particular person, just attributed down to the situation. And I hope that answers the question.
Well, it didn't answer the question, but it was really interesting. Just like from one player to another, I wonder, like, how much stress it is to, like, make these deals and to basically create a situation where you can have a breather, not just for yourself, but the North. How much personal, you know, power it takes to make that decision.
Try dealing with Fafer.
The reality is that, guys, this is going to end badly for me personally, no matter what. Because the reality is that no matter this deal being made by myself, I will go down in history as the person, because nobody will actually take the time in reality to read the agreement correctly. I will go down as the person who gets rolled over by the fucking train. Like, that's going to be it. No matter I did this from a position of wanting what's best for my people, for first and foremost, but also wanting what's best for the people that were with me with the war. People that can say that I didn't want it for CO2. I didn't have the option of negotiating that with CO2, and I don't think if CO2 was still around, there would have actually been any option for it. Goons were very heavily wanting to hurt CO2. I could have done different things. I could have died on the cross, and I, in a sense, I'm basically doomed either way. People in my own alliance would have hated it if I took us to the end and died horribly and made them want to quit the game. And people that I'm allied with will always think that I fucked them over. And that's it.
What about that? A little more on that. The CO2 situation, was there any calculation that you were, there was reports that you were locking them out of their clones in your territories. Was that in some way a signal to the Imperium if that was happening?
No. So basically, up until the night that I was leaving Canada, Gigex convoed me and asked me to open cloning in CCP. And I was like, I didn't actually answer him at the time, because I was going to search out why they didn't actually have cloning in CCP. And it turned out that the alt corp that held the Citadel in, and I didn't find this out until afterwards, hadn't added the ACL that had CO2 on it. And I ignored him. And then my FC started fighting around the DW timer, because it was the same time that DW was going on. And I and Da Vinci ended up having it out, because it actually spilled over into the TIS channel. And then Asher managed to actually kill the argument before it happened by pinging the Imperium saying that there was a fight going on in TIS. Then Da Vinci poked me in private, started absolutely going fucking mental at me. And then I decided, as the not calm and collected person that I am, to just tell them to go fuck themselves. So instead of fixing the error that was on the CCP Keepstar, I just changed it across all our keep stars. And the what had actually really happened is I was actually having fun with my alliance in alliance in coalition all because I was at a Starbucks at the time and they fucked up my name. And you can see my Twitter for that particular reason. But I'd actually, that was just after I'd gone to the toilet and lost Wi-Fi in Vancouver. I'd lost it going to the toilet, came out of the toilet like 8 minutes later. It was a long, excruciating poo. I came out and was like 12 messages deep from DaVinci about how I was a horrible person and it was all about my pride. And the reason why like everything was going wrong was because of my pride. And I talked to my other leaders, right, Rick being one of them, and was like, the fuck is going on? And I was like, fuck it, fuck you guys. If this is how you're going to act. And it got to the point where my FCs, as I said before, they were fighting each other in the Strat FC channel in our own coalition Discord. And I was like, fuck it, fuck you all. If this is how you're going to be, then I'm just going to remove your cloning from everybody. And I didn't take away the tether, right? So that's not what I was going to do. I actually gave back their tether, their cloning and officer right.
Fisher, mute.
I'm muting him up. All right.
So I had one corporation come and talk to me. I think it was Titans of Doom asking for cloning rights. For some reason, they'd actually been able to clone in CCP. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a fuck up on that corp's part. But I think 2 days ago, I gave them cloning back because in the end, as I said, I felt bad. I wasn't going to do a judge and be like, the leaders fucked you, so I'm going to fuck you. So I changed it, and they have full cloning rights. Even though I think they're gone, I don't know what they're doing. I don't really keep up with it.
January?
Yeah. What assumptions are people making in that article? And, like, can you clarify, like, what those are and what your response is? I'm just wanting to understand what assumptions people are making without reading the article.
So the assumptions is that I've decided to help goons shoot other people, or if my allies get shot, that I won't help them. And that's not true, because the deal would not have been made. And if I was going to make that deal, I mean, obviously I would have done it in private and not said anything. And I mean, that would have been the better deal for goons to have, right? I mean, they would have loved that deal, because I'm basically trapped between two fucking 800-pound gorillas, and I've just turned on both of them at the same time, and goons get to sit back and laugh as I get cub stomped by all my allies.
If you have a question, either accept or let me know.
I have a question. Name Skid or
give me your name and corporation, please, or alliance.
Hyper Viper, GSF.
Go ahead.
Beef brisket or pulled pork?
I've never had a good brisket from the States, but I've had pulled pork, so I'd say pulled pork.
Fair.
Eggs and Fang?
Yep. Exxon Fang, the diplomat of the Initiative Family of Alliances. Sir, I'd just like to know what you want to say to your coalition and alliance members to keep morale in light of this deal.
What makes you think the morale is down?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, this deal is a huge win for the Imperium.
You didn't answer the question. What makes you think that my morale is down?
Well, if it's a win for us, it would be a loss for you guys.
Okay, so how do you say that?
Well, all I'm wondering is, what would you say to your coalition alliance members to reassure them that things are going well for you guys? What is your, I guess, what's your next steps? What would you say to get them to keep on doing shit and not just drop alliance or drop coalition?
I guess I can answer the question, but it's kind of weird. I mean, I had a Q&A with my people, and
let's ask that. What did you say during your Q&A?
Well, it's a Q&A. They ask questions, I answer the questions.
Okay, so you didn't make a little speech before.
I made a speech that I wouldn't talk about NCDOT or anybody of my allies. I made a speech saying that this is the situation we're in. I explained how the leak happened. I apologized that I didn't get to control how they received the information, because that was, out of everything that happened, the most thing that I'm the most unhappy about is that my people found out in a way that wasn't really fair to them. But I mean, this is a good deal for my people as well. I mean, they've been fighting for a long time. Props to Asher in the sense that he really rammed that Imperium dick up my ass. There was definitely it definitely hurt. I mean, we definitely hurt from it. And I think not having the war anymore after such a long war is not a bad thing.
Yeah. All right. The Mick, did you have a question?
Yeah, I had another question. Sorry. Months ago, I'm not exactly clear on the timeline, but months and months ago, there was a similar deal. Different, of course, but similar, where DRF paid you guys to basically go home. I was wondering, people are going to draw comparisons between the two. How do you feel the two deals are different? And this, what your thoughts are on that?
So we actually didn't get paid to go home. We'd actually already left. We left, and for some, I don't fucking know how we managed to pull it off. We basically said to them that you had to pay, what the fuck is it when you pay restitutions, I guess you could call it, for what Jay did. And they said, we'll give you a trillion ISK and come and help us shoot try. And we were like, well, we're not going to deploy. And he goes, no, that's fine. Just come through wormholes. And I think we did like three ops through wormholes and got paid a trillion ISK. So I don't know how we managed to pull that off.
That's a good deal.
But it was the most, it actually hurt in a sense, because we did the first op and a lot of people didn't want to shoot try. So we said, okay, we'll only do strat ops from now on. We won't do CTAs. Strat ops for us is like not really needed to do. We were like, okay. So we took Scepter fleets to kill a Keepstar and they were happy about it. And then I think we took Confessor fleets and nobody understood how we got away with it. And when we asked them, are you okay with our level of dedication? They were like, yeah, sure, cool. And we were like, okay. And yeah, we got paid a trillion ISK. So, I mean, it's a very different situation. We were actually legitimately getting our shit pushed in.
If you're finished, sort, Shadow 42.
Yeah, it's Shadow Fujandi. I'm from NCDOT Maverick Navy. I just have a quick question. You might have covered it before I got in, but so I heard you said that you had they did approach Killer 2 or whatever, but like after you talked to your coalition, did you go to like your allies, like Vince? You don't have to be specific or whatever, but like your allies, and tell them, you know, like what was going on and that you were going to take the deal, and how did that go for you?
I'm going to have to be very diplomatic here because I don't want to say things that I shouldn't regarding my allies. They knew all along, and I wouldn't have taken the deal if they didn't know and didn't sign off.
Fair enough.
Tyre Heimdall? You still here?
It looks like he's keying up, but nothing's coming out.
All right, get that worked out. If you have a question, just X up in public. I'll make a list and we'll go down that way. Okay, Black Canary Jr.
Hey, Black Canary Jr., Peak PL. Really curious how you think that this will play out in the long term. I mean, goons are known for like standing by the word, right? And the word is like, you get 6 months, right? And then like, what do you think will happen in those 6 months and like after those 6 months?
The 19th of March, I expect the fucking Blitzkrieg to start moving through Fountain. I basically said that to my people. I think I don't know if there'll be a recording of it. I didn't allow recordings, but people always use Shadowplay. It's the end of all wars will be in 6 months from now. I mean, Asher and Mittens and everyone could decide to start the war early in on my allies, obviously, and I would help them. But I think the reckoning of Dead Coalition and the server itself will probably hit on March 19th. I definitely think that is what will happen.
Oh.
Or do I? Obviously, I hope that answers your question. I don't know if it does, but I don't like to think more than 3 months ahead. But I think I hope that by March 19th, we've not just given my own people time to build, but at the same time, I hope that CCP gets a certain reprieve to actually sit and fix their servers, right? Because we, in a sense, ending this war now, have given not just the players a reprieve, but also CCP. Because judges here as a CSM member as well. We are basically doing to the server what nobody else had done so often. Generally, you would have maybe these fights twice a year, and we were having the level of fights twice a month. And I hope this buys time for them.
Let's try Tyre again, see if he's able. It doesn't sound like he is. Sorry, you're having trouble, Tyre. Might want to work that out.
Let me just quick throw one in, Metaril. Dirk McGurk, first time, long time. What was the story with KOS? When did they decide to leave? And were there any others that were kind of on the fence of leaving as well? And this sort of stemmed that, or what?
Own thing. I was actually shit scared that we were going to end up in a situation where.
No, sorry, just so you know, you weren't keying up there at the beginning. If you want to start that over.
Oh, sorry.
I thought it was me.
What part did I come in at?
Just start over.
Yeah. Okay, so I knew 3 weeks ago, that nobody else that I know of was wanting to leave. Pretty much everyone said, try and make a deal if you can, or fight to the end. So that's where it all came of it. I was really scared that we were going to lose Aedas to 8 Keepstar because we would end up in the same situation that we were with DO6. So DO6 was lost because we gave the iHubs to someone else that we couldn't control. Has nothing to do with how CO2 defended it. It has to do with we have a certain way how we would do things and how we would defend. And we ended up losing the DO6 Keepstar because... I mean, Asher just simply wore us down. I mean, I'm using Asher as the terminology because I know that he's one of the main driving forces is the guy that was leading this campaign. It's not name dropping. And we were worried that Koss was leaving and that Koss wouldn't actually have the ability to defend the Keepstar. And so we would lose the iHub around it and then lose the Keepstar itself. And then for anyone who knows geography of Declan, it would basically cut Declan in half. So that did put a certain level of pressure on it. We also knew, and I assume that Goons knew as well that Koss was leaving because they started focusing Koss very heavily. And because Koss was in this weird situation where they were kind of only telling half their people, but not telling the other half. So half the groups were taking down citadels while the other group were asking what the other half was doing. And even as far as my Q&A tonight that I just had, half of Koss didn't know that Koss was leaving. So it was a very weird situation for me as a leader in that situation. And Koss has been a good ally, but at the same time, they've had some really hard struggles in the last 6 months because they've kept changing alliance leadership, and it's just moved from the next person that could be active, basically.
All right. Next was Lilob.
Lilob from PL/Horde. Sorry if I missed this, but is your specific alliance going to be coming down to Geminate? And are you going to be, or basically what's going on next with you guys after your evac or whatever? Are you just going to like chill out with Horde, and do you ever consider like a friendly reset possibly, or what's the deal?
Yeah, Yeah, you're not keyed up, sir.
What the fuck? Hang on. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Do you mean my alliance coming down to shoot?
Yes, your alliance.
No, oh, I mean, some of the best times actually that we had was when you guys lived in Fade. A lot of people would like to go back to that. I assume that the reset will happen at some point. I'm trying to avoid it being an emotional reset because I really do have a massive love for the Hordlings. They are.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're the new like.
But I mean, I think the reset will probably happen at some point. I mean, obviously, I don't know what their plan is. I mean, when they moved away, they took a part of my heart with me. I'll be honest. We had a very close relationship. We knew that what was going to happen with them, and they knew what was going to happen with us. And when they left, we kind of fell out of kind of contact. So, I mean, I would assume that that'll happen, but I don't know for sure. I definitely won't hurt them.
Okay. So, the first part of the question, though, was like, what are you guys doing next? Because obviously you're going to have some logistics with evacuating your shit or whatever. Whatever.
Evacuating from where, sorry?
Well, because like you've got basically like you're the GOTG, right? Are you guys going to be like moving out of the whole, like you've got this agreement, right, where you're going to move out of all these northern territories? Or you're not going to?
No.
No. Somebody didn't read it right.
See, this is okay. So this is the perfect example right here, right? This is the Chinese whispers I've been talking about. Like, as it makes its way through the Eve player base, this is the 12 degrees of separation. Like, it gets to the point where people are like, "Am I leaving the North?" No, I'm not. Like,
okay, so your plan is to just like chill here and
yeah,
not sure. Yeah, all right, cool.
Thanks for asking a question. Next is Arabella Mayer.
Oh, wait. I'm going to interject. Heimdall wrote, during the inking of the deal, did you include the one-month inclusion of your northern allies, specifically PanFam, or was this put in by someone else?
He's Ice Storm from Lawn.
Sorry about that.
So I'm not going to trigger the monolith that is Goons by answering that question, because there's certain things that if I say and answer that question, it could have them go, fuck you, I'm just going to stay in the North and attack someone else. I would prefer that they go home. And yeah, I don't know what they're going to do after the month, but if I could have afforded to pay them to leave for 6 months of everybody, I would not have had that money. And I didn't ask my allies to help me with it. If they help me with payment over after it, that's their decision. But it's not something I asked them for. So I got the best of what I could from while I could, basically. And I mean, there are people in this channel who saw the negotiations of the deal at the same time.
Would that someone be Judge?
No.
Oh. All right. Arabella Mayer.
Yeah, thank you. Arabella Meyer, Circle of Two. So Jay Amazingness hinted on the meta show this past week, probably by accident, that when Imperium withdraws, Dead Coalition could theoretically set up Tataras in Fade and emulate Goonswarm's monthly Locust fleets, etc. So I read through the agreement that Aerith posted and didn't see anything regarding Fade, but was it part of the deal off paper? And as a follow-up to that, what are your plans for Fade regardless in the next 6 months?
I'm pretty sure that Fade's in the deal.
Not that I might have skipped over that part.
Yeah, someone just linked it in the chat channel. Again, Chinese whispers, my friends.
Well, he read it, though, and he just missed that detail. I thought it was a good question.
I'll answer it, but Fade's a part of the deal. That's what I decided to do with Fade. I'm not gonna, I didn't come to this thing to be like, here's all of my plans, guys. Please fuck me. But yeah, I mean, Jay is a very smart man, and I don't know if he was the one that created Locust Fleet, but it was a very good solution to a lot of things. So we know that what we did with Fade originally when Horde left, it actually hurt us. I don't think we'll ever put a Keepstar in Fade again. It hurts too much to lose them. Losing DO6 was crushing. Everyone knows that knows me. So, yeah.
Let me interject with a question of my own, and that's what was it like before all this started? Were you guys actively trying to, rat as much as possible to get your economy up? Because you were pretty much the strongest economy second to the Imperium.
Why did we were camped? We were definitely. We were always trying to grow. We just weren't always doing it as successfully as the Imperium. I hope to get back to that, and that's a mismanagement on my end as a leader. We didn't do everything that we should have in a certain direction, I guess you could say. And so that was our problem. And that's something we're going to try and work on to fix after the fact. Will it work? I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We have the Mick with another question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask.
Back off the mic a little bit.
Sorry, is this better?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I just wanted to ask, what's your opinion on how this type of war, where your alliance and coalition are kind of on the back foot and more defensive, what kind of drain does that put on your line members and FCs, differing from like a offensive campaign in somebody else's territory? Like, is it a different type of drain on your members,
we were quite heavily already quite heavily pushed by the squads that were in Pure Blind. They butted us up quite heavily. Ash's Reavers squad deserves a very heavy amount of props, and Kendar's group in the end and initiative as well that came in at the end. They did really well at softening us up before they brought in the big guns, I guess you could say. And we are not a very good summer alliance. We have a massive French wing, and them being in the World Cup and winning the World Cup just did not work well for us. Our Euros just don't have the same level of dedication that a lot of people do as well. So we were hurting quite a lot from that position. So the defensive wars, generally you can fight them a lot better than offensive wars because you have more people and people are more inspired. But we ended up putting too much effect into the squads coming north and going too heavily on them instead of treating them as what a squad is, getting content, having fun. And so we did blow our load too heavily on that. And then by the time we realized what we'd done, we were 5 Titans down and way too much morale lost in that. So an offensive campaign is a lot different. Offensive campaigns can be a lot more fun. We enjoyed ourselves in the MTO deployment quite heavily. Even though we lost the Keep Star in the initial deployment. But everyone was still having a blast. We learned a hell of a lot, and we got to extract when we wanted to, and we were able to extract back to how we wanted and what we wanted. And that really did help us. We obviously didn't get the same chance for this war. And I don't know how it will be coming March 2019. I guess we'll see how that goes.
Do you have a follow-up?
I guess my only follow-up would be with GOTG, Dead Coalition, sorry. Basically, with you guys being almost a whole new coalition with, you know, Ranger Regiment joining and people leaving and stuff like that, members leaving. Going forward, do you think like the dynamic in the North where you guys approach how you deal with PanFam and different groups, is that going to also change, do you believe? Or
I think the relationship in the North is not as, how would you say, strong as it was in the past. Even Dead Coalition as a whole, other than when GOTG was first created, there's the only people that were that are left from then are Darkness. And the people from then are Slice as well. And I mean, Koss, they didn't survive the times. They were the last of that group, and I believe we have a lot stronger core alliances now, that it's a lot easier for us to have wide kind of leadership wide people who can help arrange it, whereas Koss was one person at the top struggling to keep things going. Slice has a wide leadership. So does Darkness. So does Ranger Regiment. So does everything else. I mean, the only thing that we have to come across, like, have to get better at is obviously working with Ranger Regiment because they are Chinese. Working with Siberian squads who came to us as a really small group from Siberia, who is now quite a really serious group in Venal and in Branch. But again, they're Russian. And then obviously we have a Japanese alliance as well. So we're now half English and non-English speakers. So we have to work on that to get better at that. With regards to PanFam as a whole, I feel that Horde for a long time now has been kind of distancing themselves from PanFam and from the North. And I think they've decided to strike out not aside from PanFam in the North, but into their own identity of what is a super capital alliance and building up in towards that themselves. So obviously having how we talk to them is different to how we were like, oh, that's a newbie little alliance and they're so cute. Now it's like we're actually an alliance that's moving forward. And that's a different thing. And obviously NC Dots changed a lot as well. They are actually stronger in sense of different things, and the relationship that we built with NC Dot is really, really strong. And then you've got PL, who is going through a massive phase shift themselves, where they're having to come to terms with that they can't be solo anymore. They can't, in today's Eve, they have to be working with someone. And I think that's obviously going to be an identity problem for them, and how we work with them as well. I mean, I've had fights with Headliner. I love the guy to death in real life. But we've had fights. Well, not fights, but kind of pushing back and forth. Doom Chinchilla is the same. Fucking love the guy, but sometimes he would treat my FCs like shit because he believed he was better than us. And to be honest, they had that mantle for a long time. And I'm not saying they aren't, because they are good allies. It's just they're going through each and every alliance in the North is being taught by every alliance in the South that what we're doing is incorrect and we have to change our way of thinking. And Test learned from Goons, and basically Goons set the trend. They set the trend 2 years ago when they left Declan. I can't remember how many years it was. When they went to Delve, they set the trend of what the future of EVE Online would look like for 0.0 alliances. And it's taken the rest of us a little bit longer to catch up. And now we're massively playing catch up. Horde is doing a massive job of being an industrial alliance. NC Dot is probably the closest to Goons in the sense of industry. And then PL and us are playing catch up, and Test is obviously becoming their own monolith, and the same with FRT's coalition in the East as well. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Dust and Dashi.
Hi, this is Dust and Dashi with Goonswarm Federation. I just want to ask you a bit of more technical term about the treaty. What would be considered like a violation? Like, can people bring like fleets to roam into GOTG space to shoot at the GOTG members? Or would that be considered like a violation from your perspective?
I don't know. Actually, I honestly don't know. That's actually not something we've really knuckled down into, what is a violation and what is not. For now, I think both sides are just interested to see what the status quo is after the 29th. I think I'd be very clear with my FCs with regards to what they can and cannot do currently. Right now, there is an agreement in place with what they can do before the Goons leave, and that's what I'm focusing on now. And then obviously my importance with the FCs will be to make sure that we don't break the agreement, because as much as like, oh, fuck them, you can just break the agreement with Goons, and the reality is they could fucking come back afterwards. But at the same time, I do want us to be quite honorable in that agreement. Obviously, it does benefit us to be honorable, but at the same time, I guess it'll be a terminology with myself and Mirana, I think, probably will be involved, and Aerith and a few other people, and Asher, obviously, to make sure that it's very clear on my side and on theirs what FCs can and cannot do.
All right, thank you.
Hyper, do you have a real question?
Yes, I do. I was curious, as a leader, how you deal with when stuff gets leaked about other alliances in your group, when they disagree or say something that they prefer not to be released. and you find out about it.
Can you clarify the question a little bit? I'm not sure I completely understand. Are you
when people talk crap about you and then they get leaked to Reddit, how do you deal with that?
Well, I get talked about shit about me on Reddit all the time anyway. True or not. I mean, I like to promote people's having free speech, but at the same time, if it's on my coalition Discord, I control that Discord, so I would remove them. And then them to come back would have to explain to their own alliance leadership why they should be allowed back, and then so on and so forth.
Thank you.
All right, next question is Alice Adrera.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, girl's name, guy voice. Yeah, I just think, do you think long-term this is going to be good for you guys in the end, hopefully?
Time will tell. I don't know. I would love to say yes, but I could walk in tomorrow and my allies say, I had nothing to do with this agreement, fuck you, sort, and they could all invade me and I die.
I mean, in general, like the war, do you think that some groups will learn from it and some won't, hopefully?
I fucking hope so. I've had one alliance that before this war would not SRP Titans, would not SRP Supercaps. And I was the one that SRP'd all of the Titan losses and Supercap losses from X-47. And just the other day, that alliance has now told me that they're going to do that, and that's, in my sense, progress.
One little quick thing. I work for a bicycle company in Vancouver. If your little kids need new bikes, ping me.
I don't live in Vancouver.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I was traveling. I travel through Vancouver every time I go to the summit because it's a direct flight from Brisbane to Vancouver to Iceland.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, they're in Australia as well. But
anyway. I'm definitely considering trying that next time.
Yeah, that's why. Awful. Yeah.
What a nice offer, Alice. Okay, third time around, Kyle, then we'll go to Creature Verpio. Kyle?
Alrighty. Kyle, sentence again. You had stated earlier that you said that 6 months around when we came back, it would be the end of all things. Being how CCP is now getting at least, what would you say, outward assistance under new management, but not really, kind of. Where, again, I'm not too entirely sure of what the new CCP situation is. How do you feel that the game would need to change in those next 6 months to accommodate this large force that Goon Swarm currently is? Do you feel...
I think it's goons aren't that big, right? They're big, but so is the other side. What has to change is nothing actually with the game itself has to change. The code has to change, and the way they run their server lag has to change. Because these fights are important, and to have these fights, you can't just blame Gooms for being too big, because that's just the natural progression of the game. So I think it's very important that CCP works on coding and server performance and stuff like that. So when I say it has the possibility of being the war that ends all wars, we can actually fight it.
Fair enough. Thank you.
All right, let me ask a Creature Verpio's question. He's from Test. Oops, that's the wrong one. That's right here. It's you might have answered this earlier, but a lot of people have arrived since then. But do you think the North will ever be as united as it is for this war?
I fucking hope not. Because the North was fucking horrible this war. Like, at a leadership level and a coordination level, it was the worst we've ever been. A lot of people won't like me saying it, but it's truth. It's reality. The reality in this is that we have a lot to learn. I mean, Killer was one of the driving forces of trying to improve things. Doom as well. We had certain alliances that would not. So during the first war fight, we had certain alliances willing to merge their Titans with other Titans, with other alliances. In the second fight, that alliance said, no, we want our own identity. And the problem is, because they did that, the amount of Titans that they actually managed to field was very low. And it actually hurt us as a whole. Whereas we need to get to a point where the arrogance level of, I don't know, maybe arrogance level isn't the word, is we need to accept that as a North, we are better united than fractured. And the problem that's going to happen is that with this peace coming about, the most likely thing is we're not going to fix it. We're going to get into a situation where most likely we're just going to end up fighting each other. And goons are just going to pick us off in the end. The perfect example is the people that we're fighting against Test. Like, Skew yourself and Try are already fighting each other. Like, I guess the saying is with our friends like these, who needs enemies? Because they're just going to fight each other. I hope that we improve on it. I hope that we fix it. I hope that when the next war happens, we are on point like goons are with themselves. They have one alliance with a couple of alliances that hang on and work on the goon way of doing things. I mean, Initiative and Snuff, I think, are the only ones that are very, very independent compared to the other ones. And that allows them to do what the North does not do. And that is, we need to work heavily together. And the unfortunate thing is that I may have, in a sense, I may have gotten to a point where people will look to this deal and go, fuck it, let's go kill Sort instead. And if that's the case, so be it. But the reality is, if we ever want to win against goons, we have to get on goons' level of coordination. And currently we're not, and I hope that we get there. Will I be around to see it? Time will tell. Our coordination between NC Dot and Dead Coalition has always been pretty well on point. It takes a certain level of lowering yourself. If you're on your pedestal and if you're up high, you have to come down to the masses, because maybe not everyone is elite as you, I guess you could say. And goons have always been pretty good at that. And Initiative and Snuff, who were always very good at niche stuff and being very good at like the more niche ideas, even they were able to come down to the masses and work with Goonswarm. And I think if that's a method that could be used in the North, we might actually be able to give the South a run for their money. Will it happen? Time will tell.
One quick follow-up by the Mick.
Yeah, you spoke about your coordination not being crisp where you wanted to be. Last year, and when Goonswarm, the Imperium, sorry, and Legacy deployed north and fought out in Hokkenen, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, it seemed like the coordination was a lot better then. What changed between the two times, if you don't mind me asking?
You're absolutely right. Hokkenen was on point. that we threw a Serbian grenade into the mix, and decided to work with someone who doesn't want to be worked with. It's the reality.
You're talking about CO2?
Well, yeah. Okay. And the reality is we had no way of dealing with someone who doesn't want to be dealt with. I'm not saying that they didn't want. So CO2 has a way of playing the game. It's their way of playing the game. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean it's right. But when it comes to dealing with allies and working with allies, they are very hard to work with. In Hokkenen, everyone understood, like, it's the Spartan rule, right? When in the scene from the Spartans, when they put down the tools and go fucking to war. That was Hokkenen for us. Everyone converged in one spot. Our fucking coordination was on point. Everything, our plan was on point. We knew exactly what we wanted to do. We knew exactly how we wanted to accomplish things. And we won that war. And goons went away and went, okay, what do we need to work on? And they came back even stronger on what they needed to work on. And the problem is, what we decided was like, okay, so this worked, this war. Do you know what's a good idea? Take this plan that we used here, throw it out the window, and try something new. And the reality is we ended up in a situation where I never wanted CO2 back in the north. I lost a lot in GOTG when they came back. So be it. That was it, whatever it was. And they did their own thing. I actually think the north would have been stronger if they never settled in the north. But my allies made the decision, and I respected my allies, and they made that decision, and that's fine. It's nothing against CO2. They have a way of playing the game, but their way of playing the game is 5 years ago. It doesn't work in the coalition mentality of the game now. You cannot survive as a one singular alliance that is 2,000, 3,000 members when every other block around you is 30 or 40,000. Just does not work. And so our coordination in Hakonan was on fucking point. And I wish that we had that kind of coordination this time, because we would have actually given the goons a run for their money. They still would have had more supers and titans than us. They obviously did. We saw that. But at least we would have actually fought smarter and not spent a lot of the time chasing around, cleaning up after other people's messes. Because it's not just CO2 that made problems in the war. Other alliances doing their own thing as well made problems. Each of us whelped fleets. Each of us would do something and get caught out by the coordination. Because it used to be a Goons would put out a fleet in Hakonan, we would all chase them down and all kill them. And what would happen is, in the north for this war, Goons were doing exactly the same thing to us. One fleet, one fish would stray away from the pod and get eaten by the shark that was Goons. And instead of sticking together as a strong unit, we just weren't able to. And I hope that we learn from this war and go back to where we were at Conan. Will it happen? Fuck knows.
All right, a few more. January?
What caused such a drastic communication breakdown? The war in Hakonan was short-lived. You guys had a relatively long peacetime in between that and the current war. What caused such a drastic communication breakdown?
Different priorities. We had, each of us had different priorities. We went back to rebuilding. And when we saw the squads coming from initiative, we obviously killed our morale, as I said earlier, dealing with it. But at the same time, I believe that a lot of people, when I said I could do with some help dealing with this because our US time zone wasn't as strong as Ash's group, wasn't as veteranized, I guess you could say. We didn't actually have as much use as a group. And when I asked for help, a lot of people were busy elsewhere. I'm not going to throw allies under the bus from that. It was different priorities. Different things that people thought were important. I do agree that PL had to do their thing against Test. I actually told people when they were asked, I said, if you want to go south with you with supers and go play against Test, go for it. I think something that was very interesting in that war was that the people that went to war with Test, other than PL, who had been seasoned in a war like that, and BL, obviously Elo and his bunch, were very seasoned in that war. The others weren't really used to an entity that fought back. And Test did that. And I think that's where I hope that answers your question, January, but that's where our issues lied.
Yeah, it just seemed like, because I was in the Hakonan War at least, and at least spectated it, but the response from NC seemed really subdued this time around, and it seemed like, not to attack you personally, but there was just seemed a lot of blame going back and forth, where GOTG would blame CO2, CO2 would blame NC, you know, and it just seemed like everything had just fallen apart.
It definitely had. I mean, that's the reality, is it? I wouldn't agree that NC wasn't as fully into it. I think it had a lot to do with them focusing on the Alliance tournament, and obviously I think they came third, which is not a bad thing to do. I think I said this to Arith and Merkelchen and Innominated at the summit, is our side of the game doesn't have the same dedication to the game that the Goons do. A lot of the side of our side have not recruited very heavily, so we're still a lot of old veterans. And so if you get disconnected, you're not going to like keep trying to log back in. A lot of the time we were seeing it in our fleets, at least. Ah, fuck it, I'm going to log off. Whereas goons would be like, fuck it, I'm going to keep logging in. I'm going to keep logging in all night. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to come back, and I'm going to keep fighting. And as the night goes on, I'm going to keep trying to come back. And we didn't have that. And that requires a massive change in mentality. And I mean, what we fielded in Titan and Super Numbers, I know what we have on paper, and we didn't even field that many of what we have. And that is a problem that I have to deal with. And I'm sure it was the same northern wide. I'm sure it was like that. And it's a mentality change that needs to change at a leadership level. Not a leadership level, even in a mentality of a line member level. And that I don't know. I don't know if it'll change. I hope it will, but that's something I can't really comment on.
Dunk Dinkle.
Hey, this is Dunk with Brave Newbies. And just wanted to say it's really hard to do what's right for your people, even though you have to kind of bend the knee and take a lot of shit. So kudos for you for doing what's right for your people and giving them the ability to kind of reinforce and get back on their feet. But my question's about something else. So after the CSM summit and the news gets released about all the proposed changes, there's just this ball of anger, you know, from people, and they're just aggressive and screaming and yelling. So in your opinion, what's the best way for players to get their point made across to the CSM in a constructive way?
That's a very good question. I guess it depends on the CSM member. I, in the past, didn't spend a lot of time on these podcasts. But I found, especially last night, I think there's a couple of people that were here with the wormholers. It was good to have it out between the wormholers and ourselves. There were a couple of CSM members that were here. But I definitely think that a lot of CSM members are put off when you scream and yell at Reddit, because a lot of CSM members have been attacked on Reddit. So I would say a lot of the places that you can find people is sometimes on the CSM public Discord, or a lot of the times, even talking in this server, they generally moderate the server quite well, even on the public channel. And so a lot of times you can bring things up. I think they made a Skunkworks channel here on this server last night, which helps as well. Otherwise, I know a lot of the CSM members read their mails, like I did as well. Tweeting at people helps as well. But I guess just striking up a conversation, or like even PMing someone saying, can I have a moment of your time? And just try to remember that the people that you're talking to are people as well. A lot of the times people can get very emotional when they're talking to us. And I mean, that's ironic coming from me, who has spent time with me with CCP. Judge would know that. Trying to keep it to a point where we can actually have a constructive conversation with you, because a lot of the time, a lot of it, the CSM don't know everything, don't understand everything, but they would for sure like to understand more. And a lot of the time it can be very interesting to take a certain person's theories and constructive criticism to CCP, because sometimes we don't actually have anything to give CCP, because we don't always know the answers. So giving us bug reports, giving us petitions that you've made in certain areas, or issues that you've seen, or things that you think could be changed, even making a forum post and linking to it, it's definitely constructive. I hope that answers your question. I'm not sure if it does, but yeah.
No, it's people need to know the right way to get their point across without it becoming a problem.
I guess the best way to say it, probably the easiest way to say it, was talk to a CSM member how you would want to be talked to if you were a CSM member. If you imagine as a person like me, for example, who normally works full time, who has a kid, imagine how hard it is for us sometimes to go into a massive 500 post threadnought and try and work out what is constructive criticism, what is setting fire to the barn, and what is just memeing.
And it's really easy to just turn off and say, you know, I'm not going to read those threads anymore, because if we try to jump in those threads and talk to people, because it's an open forum, the majority of the time we're just going to get the you're ruining the game response from people, and, you know, the whole CSM is useless, but at the same time you're ruining the game. So it makes it really difficult.
And to add to that, in those 500 post threadnoughts, there might be one or two posts in that are absolutely fucking epic. They're really, really good. But the chances of us actually finding them is slim to none, because they're so heavily engulfed in talking shit about CSM members, talking shit about CCP, generally trying to be stupid. And a lot of the times I'll open up Reddit, like until recently I was even banned off Reddit, which didn't help. I would like open it up and go, do I want to spend the next 10 minutes reading these 400 posts, or do I want to go and masturbate? Because one of them is way more fun, and I can tell you which one it is. And it's obviously reading the Reddit thread. But that's the hardest thing for us, is that you're like, we're people too. We like to play other games. We like to play Eve. We like to chat with people. We like to spend time with our corporations. I can't imagine putting us players through that. We're also not paid. CCP is paid to go through those threads. We're volunteers. But if you have something, I will actually go in and write, like when you're making a Reddit thread as well, keep in mind, if you want to make the Reddit thread, be very explanatory in the subject, because I'm not going to open the thread if it's like, oh, I had this great idea while I was jerking off in the toilet. But if it's like, new wormhole function, this is the idea, this is the thread, I will actually go in and read it. And a lot of other people will as well. And a lot of other CSMs will. And the same is to be said by comments. Keep your comments on point. Keep your comments like a human being, and people will actually read them. And you'll actually find that a lot of people will actually comment or try and find you on Reddit or on Talking in Stations and actually try to understand your position so we can take it to CP.
All right. I think we're pretty much wrapped up. I'll give people just another second to X up if they have one last question. I have one last question. Or you sort, do you feel like you're out on a limb here, considering how fast things have changed, or do you feel pretty sure-footed?
My neck is extremely extended right now. The reality is that the buck has been passed to my allies. They either back me or they don't, and that's the thing. My coalition has backed me. They're happy with what I did. They're content with what I did. Happiness doesn't come into it. They understand where it came from. Do I think I made this massive power play for my own pride? No. My own ego? No. I would have been just as happy to walk away from it all. But at the same time, I was elected to the CSM, and I was also people that should be worked with.
All right. Well, thanks, Sort, for taking some time to answer questions. Like, I don't know, 100 people in here. It's more people than when CCP shows up. And thanks, everybody, for actually just conducting yourselves very, very well. All right. So feel free to stick around. I don't know if Sort will stick around, but we'll just end the AMA now. And whatever happens afterwards is up to you guys. Thanks.
Thank you for hosting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice music.
I hear that, Dunk.
Eve doesn't have sound.